Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
The very first time I'm learning. This is the first time I'm learning entrepreneurship in, you know, in that light. And it's really changed a lot about how I see my business and what I do. You know, a lot has really improved work-wise and all of that. I'm really grateful, sir, for the series. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good evening, sir. So I must say that so far so good, even though I didn't join on time, like your voice I heard for the first time, I was so much inspired. Like you are just a godsend. Seriously. That is all I can say. The one that I heard from your mouth, like it really has inspired me so much. Thank you for the good work.
Thank you very much.
And I pray for more grace. I pray for grace for you to do more in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Mercy. Thank you for that feedback. Thank you also, Godson, for your feedback. Thank you. Thank you once again for joining. When we started this conversation, part of the things we looked at is trying to define what entrepreneurship should be. God calling upon your life as a businessman, as a businesswoman, is not just for you to make income, but rather it's an opportunity for you to begin to deal with generational wastes, generational poverty, things that over the years has crippled not just you, but families, communities, you know, and even nations. So part of what we are trying to do in this conversation is to help you understand that there is more to entrepreneurship. Oftentimes, I see people who go into entrepreneurship because they want to make additional income. You know, some will tell you need to have multiple streams of income. You need to have different sources of income, you know. So constantly, we are caught up in that loop where we want to look for a business to start, an idea to pioneer, something to do so that we can have additional income. You know, but we've come to realize through this teaching, which I'm still going to explain further to you, that entrepreneurship is not just about you making an income. Entrepreneurship is not just about you making a living. It's about you making a giving. It's about you influencing the environment where you are, influencing life where you are, influencing the nations around you, so that through you, God can be a blessing. When God was calling Abraham in the Bible, He said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. You find that pattern consistent in the scripture, you know, where the goal of God concerning our life is not just to make you feel better. It's not just to maybe give you a nice car or give you a nice house or so that you can afford trips around the world. No, the goal of God is so that through you, lives, communities, institutions can be impacted. Jesus was having a conversation with disciples. He said that the greatest among you must be your servant. He's trying to draw our attention that greatness directly associates with the level of impact that goes from us to other people. So it means that entrepreneurship, leadership, every form of endeavor that you have to engage in on earth must drive you towards providing solutions for others, providing for the needs of others, and making the world a better place. I will go to the book of where I would like to take the text from today. It's a popular scripture. I'm sure everyone here has read Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible talks about from the beginning, the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, I said something when we are starting this session, that there is nothing of great advantage to you like a problem. Okay, we understand from the Genesis that one thing that makes your hidden potentials to be unveiled, one thing that makes your God-given talents to be unveiled, are difficult situations around you. That is why I always say that why problems might bring difficult challenges to you, it should also be an opportunity for you to think. It should be an opportunity for you to innovate. It should be an opportunity for you to unveil your potentials in God, so that everything God has placed inside you will be made manifest and will be a blessing to others. Let's look at God's approach before I break it down. When God came to the book of Genesis, when God came to earth in the book of Genesis, the Bible said that the earth was void and without form. So what it is telling us, what it is, you know, making us to understand is that God met a situation that is unpleasant. God met a situation that is not favorable. Just like you might be in a country today and you feel that the laws or what is happening in your environment is not favorable. Or you might come from a family that you always wish maybe God would have brought you through another family. You know, most of us, 90% of us, there are very few of us who are very happy with where they find themselves. Most of us want to make a change, not just for a change's sake, but because we want a better life. We want something to be different. We want life to give us more. And it is natural. That was also what I believe was inside God. When God came on earth, he saw the earth, he wanted more. He felt that something more can still happen. The earth still has more potentials. He saw the values, he saw the opportunities. In his mind's eye, he saw the landscape, he saw the birds, he saw the animals. So God knew that earth could give more. And then he went about to create more for the earth. So the first principle that we understand that God was showcasing us is, first of all, the principle of value. So how does value creation start? Value creation starts by you, first of all, looking at a situation that is meant to be difficult, a situation that is meant to be a problem, and then all you see inside is solution. Whenever I look around Africa, whenever I look around Nigeria, whenever I look around the Black community, all I see is potentials. All I see is wealth. All I see is opportunity for us to show our significance, our uniqueness, and our impact to the world. You know, and I believe that was what happened when God was looking on the earth. He was not seeing problems. He was not seeing difficulties. He was not seeing challenges. What God was seeing is an opportunity for him to make impact. The second principle we also see there is that God took responsibility for himself. You know, he said, let us, okay? Even when he was creating man, he said, let us create man. He took that responsibility upon himself. As an entrepreneur, I want you to understand that the power to make a change in your environment, the power to create opportunities in your environment, the power to make things different in your environment is something that lies within you. And by taking personal responsibility to say that I need to do something different, I need to do something powerful, you know, through the God-given of potentials within me, starts by you, first of all, recognizing that it is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to make a difference. It is your responsibility to create a better community. Yes, entrepreneurship is also about income. It is your responsibility to have a better income. So it means that irrespective of where you find yourself, your location, the environment, the difficulties surrounding you, just like God, you can begin to see value that will make a difference and bring you to the point where you want to be. Another principle that we are going to build on that I see from the book of Genesis from God is the fact that God dealt with generational dryness, generational waste, generational problem. Through his action, he was able to take away years of generational poverty. And that is what I believe entrepreneurship should be. Entrepreneurship should not only impact our lives. It should not only make us better. Nice car, nice house, you know, nice environment for just ourselves. No, I believe that entrepreneurship must have a generational impact. It must be able to bring about solutions, not just for us, but for generations yet to come, in such a way that when you look back, you can hardly remember where we are coming from. Okay, nobody has a picture of how bad the earth was. Nobody had a picture of what it means to be empty and void, because the transformative act of God created a solution that moved the earth from a state of voidness into a state of beauty. Today, we all enjoy it. Today, if you ask anybody now, would you want to go to heaven or would you stay on the earth? 90% will say, let's stay on earth. So it has become a desirable place. But before God acted on it, it was a place that nobody wanted to look at. And finally, the last principle I want to mention is the fact that when God came on earth, he started creating solution. He was not creating that solution for himself. He was creating it for Adam. He was creating it for Eve. He was creating it for generation of men that will come after them. And what happens is that he created, gave them the impact, gave them the solution, gave them the result, and left it for them to manage. Entrepreneurship is an opportunity for you to create a legacy. It's an opportunity for you to do something that will outlive you, something that will fix a generation, something that will make other people's life better. You find it very, very, very troubling today where you see people start businesses, you know, not just because they want to help people or want to improve the community or even make personal income, but to also take advantage of others. You know, a lot of things are going on in our community because of the quest for people to have finances or for people to have successful businesses. And one of the things I want to say is that entrepreneurship must make you a better person. You know, it mustn't compromise the values of life. It mustn't compromise the values of God. It should actually leave you better, leave your space better, leave your environment better than the way you met it. So based on these four principles, I want to draw our attention to the fact that whatever God is doing in our life, whatever God is doing in our life is primarily first to bring value out of us. I said something the other day that whenever we have a true encounter with God, the first thing that anybody who has a true encounter with God experiences is that you begin to know yourself. You begin to see the values buried within you. You begin to see your potentials. You begin to see that, you know, what used to be impossible for you becomes possible. So what happens is that we walk on earth as ordinary human beings. We walk on earth as people who don't believe that there is any form of potential or there is any form of solution that can come out of there. But whenever you encounter God, that picture changes immediately. You know, God has a way through that encounter of bringing beauty out of ashes, of bringing things that are buried within us that we did not know and others also are not aware. So as you engage in the world of entrepreneurship, I want you to understand that first, it's an engagement with yourself. Okay, it's not an engagement of what happens outside you. It's an engagement with what happens within you. And that is why it is important that for you to create any lasting solution, it has to be an understanding of who you are. It has to be an understanding of your purpose. It has to be an understanding of your skills, you know, the way you imagine life to be. There's a reason why you love sports. There's a reason why you love children. There's a reason why somebody else, you know, likes to travel. You know, every single thing that drives our passion, that drives our attention to life, it's a way of God bringing out those hidden things that are buried within us. Okay, and entrepreneurship must be able to do that. Entrepreneurship must be able to draw you out. It must be able to draw your skills. It must be able to draw your mindset. It must be able to draw your values. It's an extension of yourself. So your solution is an extension of yourself. And what that tells me is that when we find ourselves in certain environments, when we find ourselves in certain location, you know, instead of just looking at what do I need to do to get a job, or what do I need to do to get my to make my life better, or what do I need to do to make progress, the question we need to ask is, what is it within me that this environment needs? I believe this is the foundation of value creation. What it is that I need that the earth, what is it that I have that the earth needs? What solution do I carry that my environment needs? So what happens is that I am turning success from inside out. Success is not outside in. It's not taking something from your environment so that you can be a better person. No. But real success is bringing something out inside of you that your environment can benefit from. I believe this is the heart of entrepreneurship. Most of us might approach entrepreneurship, first of all, by looking at, you know, the environment. Yes, it's okay to find out what is wrong with the environment, what is going on with the environment. But the next important question to ask yourself is, what do I have that is unique about me that can serve the world better? When God told Moses to build the ark, one of the things he gave Moses instruction on is that he mentioned certain individuals. One of them was Bezalel. You know, he mentioned and told Moses that he should find this man, that within them he has placed a gift for the work of art. So you see that God has somehow predestined and predetermined that certain individuals will exist in certain time with certain kind of solution to make their environment a better place. Why most of us might be moving around looking for solution in our environment, the solution that we might be looking for is inside us. What you think that will make you the next millionaire or bring you out of poverty might not necessarily be something outside of you. It's something that you already have. It's something that you is a skill that you've already acquired. Is a knowledge that you already have. It's something that you already understand. Yes, it could be refined further. Yes, it can be made better, but you already have it. So the entrepreneurship journey is, how do I discover what is buried inside me? How do I discover what is deposited inside me? How do I find that solution? And then I begin to gradually hone it. I begin to gradually bring it out and to make the world a better place. I remember listening to a story about George Washington Carver, how he took peanuts and, you know, brought innovation in the agricultural industry in the United States of America. You know, he was just a researcher. And then one day he had a conversation with God. And what was the conversation about? That he wanted to know God, he wanted to understand God. And God was asking him, and God told him, these are some of the stories we heard. And God told him, the question you are asking me is too big. Why not asking me something smaller? And he said, why did you create the world? He said, it's too big. Ask me something smaller. And he asked God, okay, why did you create America? He said, it's too big. Ask me something smaller. And they kept on asking him, to the point he even asked God, why did you create me? And God said, it's still big. Ask me something smaller. And then, of course, he gave up. And God then asked him, why not ask me the purpose of the peanuts that you are holding? And then he then asked God for the purpose of peanuts. And then that was how he went into the lab. By passing it through different scientific methods, he was able to patent more than 10 product ideas from peanuts. That is where we also got the peanut butter. So one of the things that is unique about that story is the fact that there are a lot of things we have within us, within our environment, that God has created inside us the capacity to turn that thing into a solution. But instead of focusing on how do I make my life bring out solution, or how do I make my life bring out impact, or how do I make my life count, most of us focus on looking for what to get, looking for what to bring into our life. And that might be the reason why we are not living our truest potential. So God is inviting us to do what? To understand who we are, to understand the values that he has deposited inside us, to understand our giftings, to understand those things that are unique. There's a reason why you speak the way you speak. There's a reason why you think the way you think. There's a reason why you are better in math and the other person is better in English. There's a reason why you see things and you are able to see different solutions, different ideas from it. It's because there is something that you are designed to do differently. And until you understand that, your life will not make meaning to you. So God started from himself. When the Holy Spirit was brooding over the waters, what I believe that was happening was that God was searching within himself to know, based on what he is seeing, what he could turn it into be. So even though the earth was void and without form, in God's eye, he was already noticing that a land is buried within the waters. The land was already there. There was land already existing. But if you look at it, you won't see the land. But God looked into it, into the earth, and he saw land. And what did he say? He separated the waters and he called forth the land, separated the water from the land. It was already there. The fishes were already there. In God's mind's eye, he was able to notice and understand that the fishes were already there. And he began to call for the fishes. He began to call for the animals. He began to call for the trees from the land. Even man came from the land. Okay? It's the earth that God discovered. So you discover that the creation was actually, how do I say this? The creation was actually what was existing already, going through different states and different forms. So whether it is plants, whether it is animal, whether it is human being, these are different states of what God found on the earth. And at each stage, what you discover is that what is already existing is turned into another form, is made better. You know, the same way you see trees, inside that tree is buried a chair, but it goes through a form. And what is beautiful and unique about it is that every generation sees it differently. Okay, so we had a generation that looked at trees, and what they saw was firewood. And they began to cut it down. And what happened is that what? They produced firewood. Another generation came. They saw it as a log of wood that you can use to build a house. And they started building a house with it. Another generation came. They saw it that there's a way you can process this with a machinery, and then you can have chairs, you can have artifacts, you can have, you know, beautiful work of art. Another generation came. They began to see different things. Oh, we can build a ship from this. Oh, we can build this from this. Oh, we can build a table. So it means that the goal of entrepreneurship is not necessarily to bring about an innovation of something new that doesn't exist, is to look at what already exists and ask yourself, what can I bring out of this that will bring advancement to life, that will bring change to life? So today, when you move around the street, when you move around your neighborhood, when you move around your community, I want you to begin to look differently. Don't just look for things that you want for yourself. Don't just look for things you want to add to yourself. Begin to ask, what can I do differently? What can exist differently? What can be better? What can be improved? What can be acted upon? What can be changed in a state that can result to another state that advances life or makes life better. That was what God did simply in the Genesis creation. And when you look at life, when you look at the different states of innovation of life, it's different things. Silicon gave us IT today, powering the great engine that is powering the internet. And today, everybody is doing a lot through the internet. But it is the discovery of microchip. But you see, there was a generation that discovered a microchip, and there's a generation that discovered the internet. There's a generation that discovered solutions that run on the internet. And now another generation is talking about a world controlled by machines. So you see that it's not about what is outside. This is one of the things that is affecting us in Africa. It's not about just the conditions of your environment. It's the questions you are asking inside. It's the solutions that you are seeing in your mind's eye. And that is why if you are consumed with problem, if you are consumed with the state of the nation, if you are consumed with your environment, you will no longer have that ability to begin to pay attention within you to ask yourself, what is it about me that can make the world a better place? One of the things I believe that encouraged that kind of thought was that God was thinking about Adam and Eve. God was thinking about others. He was asking questions. What can I do to make the lives of others better? This is also a foundational principle for entrepreneurship. When you begin to ask that question, remember, the focus is others. But the goal is, there is something inside me that can make somebody's life better, that can make an organization better, that can make a community better. There's something inside you. One of the things that drew me through to public service is that when I go through the streets, I see things differently. It used to bother me. I used to ask myself, why am I always bothered? If I come into the market and I see that this market could have been built in a better way. If I'm going through the street, I see, no, this school could have been done differently. Education could have been done differently. Why was I processing? I will find myself very early days in my life. I will ask myself, sit down in my room, and I'm thinking about, how do you design cities? How do you make cities better? How do you make... There is a reason why that was happening to me. It was not just something, everybody doesn't think like that. So the more you grow up, you now realize that everybody thinks differently. And there is a reason why you think that way. The reason why you think that way is that life is trying to draw something out of you. But because we are more concerned about our own needs, we are more concerned about our own environment, we are not paying attention to what life is drawing out of us. There's a reason why you spend your time, you spend your thoughts thinking about certain things and about life. It's a clue. It's life giving you a clue. It's your purpose saying, hey, look over, I'm here. Trying to give you a clue, drawing you. Some of the challenges that you are facing is trying to give you a clue. Some of the problems you are trying to avoid, they are trying to give you a clue. That is why it is peculiar to different to us, you know, differently. We see life differently. We see challenges differently because they are trying to draw out some aspects of our life that when we discover it, it will not only make our life better, it will make the life of others better. I remember the life of Nehemiah in the Bible. You saw, when Nehemiah had the news of the state of Jerusalem, Nehemiah was in a comfortable place. Nehemiah was a servant of the king. So you see that his hierarchy, you could look at what Nehemiah occupied as a state position, not even a state, a national position. And it's not just any other nation. Babylon was a ruling nation in their time. So you would imagine Nehemiah as someone who is serving currently, maybe the American president. And when he heard about the state of Jerusalem, you know, the Bible said that he broke down. Why did he break down? Because he was thinking about his people. He was thinking about the state of their environment. He was thinking about the suffering. When was the last time? I know many people complain that there's a food hunger in Africa. When was the last time you sat down and you begin to ask yourself, how can I solve the food problem in Africa. I know everybody is complaining that there is no job, but how many times do you find yourself asking, how do I find a solution to the job problem in my nation? Everybody is talking about that marriages are going through difficult problems, you know, that, you know, marriages are breaking up, a lot is going on today. How many people have thought, what can I do? What is the purpose of God for marriage? And what can I do to strengthen marriages? You see, the moment you begin to think beyond yourself, you are already setting yourself on a path of entrepreneurship. And most times when we talk about these stories, it looks like it is Bible stories, but all around you, you see it happening. I remember the first book I read about Bill Gates. That was back then when I was in the university. Also, The Speed of Thought. One of them is The Speed of Thought. You know, he was sharing his experience, you know, growing up when he went to school and saw, you know, the giant computer that used to exist then, and he was playing game with it. He was constantly asking himself, how do I make this smaller? How do I make this better? In such a way that it can sit on any desk in every home. That was what he was thinking. You see, he's not thinking about money. He's not saying, I want to be the richest man in the whole of the United States, or I want to be the richest man in the whole world. He was not even thinking of it. When I find young people today and I ask them, what is your vision? They will tell you, I want to be the richest man in Africa. I always ask myself, even the richest man in Africa, was he planning to be rich? Did he have a plan of becoming the richest man in Africa when he started? No. He started with trying to create a solution, trying to develop, you know, values that will make life better, that will make community better. That was how he started out with. And then by expanding that solution, he ended up becoming the richest man in Africa. The same thing with Bill Gates. Young boy, as a teenager, he was already thinking, how can I create a solution called PC, they call it a personal computer, that people can put and use as a desktop, put it in their homes, in their offices, and be able to, you know, process data and do whatever they want to do with it. And as he began to think about it, he began to write programs, he began to code, he began to partner with a friend, and they together designed a solution that gave us the personal computer. And today, people even have handheld computers, and a lot is going on. And in his time, he was celebrated the richest. Find people who are also pursuing the path of, I remember Elon Musk. I remember early days when Elon Musk, you know, became, started making the news. You know, one of the things that got me fascinated about him is that Elon Musk, whenever they discover idea, he makes it open source. So when he was trying to, you know, work on electric cars, he was making his knowledge open source. Because to him, he's not trying to hide the knowledge of what he was doing, but he was trying to make it better because he believes that if somebody sees what he has done, they work on it, it becomes better, it becomes better. So he wanted to accelerate the growth of technology. He wanted to accelerate the growth of, you know, what was happening within that, you know, technological space. So he wasn't patenting it to himself. He wasn't restricting anybody to his knowledge. He was making it open source. He said, oh, look what we found. If you want to use it, you can use it. But guess what? Even though he was making his knowledge open source, he's still the richest man in the whole world because he keeps improving. So the goal of entrepreneurship, if we can understand this, it's not just for you to feed. It's not just for you to take care of your family. It's not just for you to feel better, drive a nice car, you know, live in a nice house, afford any vacation around the world. No. The goal of entrepreneurship is that you create a solution that makes life better, that makes the world better. Now, when you study the book of Nehemiah, you discover that, you know, by the time Nehemiah left the king, went back to his nation, created a solution, it was the people that insisted that he's going to be their governor. So some of the things he was not even dreaming about later came to him. Some of the things he was not even thinking about later came to him, because there is profit that comes to those who bring solution. But those profits are not designed in the first place for us to seek them. It comes as an additional reward. That was why Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of God works. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When he's talking about seeking the kingdom of God, he's talking about change your mindset. Change the way you view things. View things the way God will view it. Don't just look at, you know, how do I make myself better? No, focus on how do I make other people better. The more you begin to think, how do I make people live better? How do I make people work better? How do I make people eat better? How do I make people healthier? How do I make people safer? How do I make people faster? How do I make life improve? The moment you start thinking like that, you are beginning to set yourself up for entrepreneurship. Don't just look for ideas. Someone chatted me, you know, a few months ago. You know, the question was, I have about 10 million naira. Where do you think I will invest it? What do you think I can do with such amount of money to make more money? Okay. Why that is celebrated, you know, as the norm? That is not the goal of enterprise. That is not the goal of entrepreneurship. The right answer could have been, in what area of need, in what area of life can I invest and serve human need? When that is done effectively, a solution is. Let me end with this story. There's this story we heard about a marketer. He used to teach marketing classes, okay? But I see a lot of correlation between that and entrepreneurship and the way we see things, okay? So in one of the marketing classes I attended so many years ago, you know, they told a story about how an organization sent a marketer to India, you know, to sell shoes. Okay, so when the marketer came to India and made all efforts to sell shoes and he could not, he went back to the United States and told the company that he's not able to make any sales. And they asked him why. He said, because nobody wears shoes. Everybody goes on barefoot. Nobody is interested in wearing shoe. Nobody is concerned about shoe. So if he's showing it to them, you know, everybody just walks about all over the place without shoe. Okay. Finally, they sent another marketer to India to say, okay, find out what we can do. We need to sell this shoe. We need to sell. This is nice. But when the guy arrived in India, he moved around the community, sent a message to their CEO in America and told them that whatever they are planning to send to him, that they should triple it. Why is it? And they were asking him, you just arrived. Why not give you time and see? The guy said, no, I came here. Nobody is wearing shoe. He said, nobody is wearing shoe. It means that we can sell to everybody. So whatever you want to ship, ship everything you have in the warehouse. We have a big market in India. So you see, somebody else saw people who don't wear shoe. Another person came and saw a lot of people who don't wear shoe, but a potential to sell shoe to them. So a big market. When you look around your environment, do you see poverty or do you see opportunity for wealth? When you look around your street, when you look around your school, when you look around, you know, your community, do you see suffering or do you see an opportunity for you to bring products that will enhance human health, products that will enhance human needs and that will make life better? God was focusing on others. And the goal of entrepreneurship is for you to focus on others. If we are focusing on others, Africa today will be a better place. If the goal of our leadership, if the goal of our entrepreneurship efforts is to improve others, is to improve our environment, Africa will be great today. But look at what is happening. Everybody is looking for an opportunity to get. Everybody is looking for an opportunity to improve their own life personally. Nobody is thinking about community success. Nobody is thinking about the environment. Nobody is thinking about the nation. Nobody is thinking about the vision of, you know, of even creating the greatest nation of the world. Nobody is thinking about that. Everybody wants, how do I benefit myself? And that is why the environment is the way it is. People will always say that we need new leaders. I said, no, we need new people. We need new individuals. We need people who think differently with new mindsets. because we have always had new leaders. They always come from us, but they think the same. Their concern is not, how do I bring transformation in my environment? Their concern is, how do I benefit myself? Okay, so as I close this session today, remember first that God was the first entrepreneur. How did he start? He started first by seeing differently, seeing value, seeing something better, even when things were difficult. You might be sitting somewhere now and you are telling yourself, I don't have any money in my bank account. I don't have any job. I don't have anything to do. You are actually in a great place. You are actually in a great place. You need to turn your eyes around and see things differently. And if you are struggling to do this, that is where prayer comes. That is where prayer comes. Let me end with this story. I remember so many years ago in my business in Enugu State, Nigeria, you know, things were very, very difficult. I could not even pay my rent. You know, and one day I came to the office, I was very frustrated. My friend will remember this story very well. And I don't know what happened. I was so frustrated. I just asked everybody to go home. No business today. I was still a student. Have I left school? You know, I think at my senior level in the university, I just sent everybody away, closed the door, knelt down in my office, and I said, God, I don't know what to do again. I need your help. Right there at the center of my office, I knelt down on the floor and said, God, help me. I don't know what to do. And I had a still small voice inside me. He said, go to the table. There's a proposal you guys are pursuing. Go and submit it. I just remember that one of my colleagues then, also a student, told me about an organization. What's the name of that organization? It's a foreign organization that was working with DFID, then in Enugu. And they had a proposal. They wanted a website design. And it came into my mind that I should go and submit the proposal. And when I was writing the proposal, it came as a sense of urgency that I should take that proposal, write it, and submit it that same day. And I went, opened the document, saw that there's an opportunity here. And I began, even when I was writing the proposal, in my heart, I was like, let me not put too much money so that they will not feel that it's too expensive and then push me out. And I think I added, the first thing I added was like 100,000 naira. And it came into my spirit, increase it. I increased to 150. It came into my heart again, increase it. Of course, we could charge more, but I'm just simply afraid. I don't want price to be an issue because I needed to get the job done. I think my rent was about 120. So if I get anything close to that, about my rent, I was just okay. But the spirit was inspiring me. To cut the long story short for you, I ended up increasing it to 250,000. And I went to their office, I submitted. And our own was part of the last that went in. And then the following week, we were invited for a presentation. They had a projector, you have to show one of the work you've done before. They will ask you questions and then you prove that you can do it better. And then I came to their office, they interviewed us one by one. When it came to my session, I made presentation. They asked me, so what's the best price? Is that your best price? Because I was still afraid. I think I reduced, I told them, okay, it's fine that they can pay 200,000. And then we finished the interview. I left. Finally, they approved us. And when I came to their office to collect the check, the woman that was there was now asking me that, why was my price very low? You know, the way she was even saying very low, you know, I'm not imagining what amount did others submit. She was like, why was your price very low? And she said that she was not just concerned that my price was very low. He said that my presentation was the best. And even the formal work we've done, you know, the way I packaged my proposal and everything showed a lot of excellence. That the white man, it was a white man who interviewed us, that the white man was quite impressed with my presentation. And when he opened my proposal, it was just only 250,000. And guess what? I was even willing to go down. And the woman said, well, you guys are doing a lot of job. Increase your price. Now, why I'm sharing this story is that sometimes you might find yourself in a place where you don't even know what you have. Part of what I believe that you should do when you find yourself in that place is to reach out to God. God will help you to discover those things within you, those things buried within you, those insights, those ideas, those solutions that will make you, your environment, your family a better place. Okay? You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. And that is why we have also created, you know, this conversation. That is why we have created this community. You know, on Tuesday or every Monday, I also have, you know, some group that I also meet with, and we break down some of these things, you know, into what will help you to begin to build a life of success, to begin to do something different and powerful with your life. So I want to thank you. Thank everyone who took our time to participate in this conversation today.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC, on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.